I wanted to share some things that will overlap a little bit with the Bible study on Friday night. I believe you guys talked about 1 Corinthians 3 when I was there, but because I knew that was going to be the topic, I did a little reading, but I wasn't able to come. But I hope not too much of a repeat, but even if it is, hopefully it can still be encouraging. So maybe we'll start in 1 Corinthians 3. And there's a lot of elements of what Paul's talking to the church in Corinth about in that chapter. But the one thing that jumped out to me that was kind of speaking to my heart was, I guess it starts in verse 6. And I'm going to read it in the New Living because I really like the way the New Living does verse 8. So in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, it says, Paul speaking, I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It is not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What is important is that God makes the seed to grow. And sorry, that was the verse that was stood out to me, is verse 7. It's just that it's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What is important is that God makes the seed grow. And what spoke to my heart through that verse was broader than just the topic of not looking up to men and esteeming men or the work of Paul or Apollos in this example. It was a principle that growth comes from God. We can be vessels, we can be used in different ways. For me, in my own heart, I was thinking about two applications primarily. I was, first and foremost, I was thinking about my own home, my wife and my children, and then I was secondarily thinking about the body here. And what spoke to my heart was just the simple truth, but the important truth, that growth comes from God. And then it says in verse 9, it says, for we are both God's workers, but you are God's field, and you are God's building. It's the church that's getting built. It's the field that is being cultivated and tilled to bring forth fruit. And it's God that's ultimately doing it. And in my heart, it was speaking to me, it was like, man, like just, it was just a fresh reminder, like, that's what I need. That's where my focus needs to be. It needs to be on God. Like, I need you to do something. I need you to do something in my heart. I need you to do something in my home. And we need you to do something in this body here. We all can be workers. We all want to strive to be armed and equipped so that we can be a blessing to one another. But ultimately, the crux of the matter is that we want God to do something. That's what is ultimately important. And so I had a few other passages that kind of came to mind in thinking about this topic. The first is in Hebrews chapter 3, just before where Tim read. It was in verse 4 is sort of what I was thinking of, but I'll start at the beginning of the chapter. It says, therefore, Hebrews 3, verse 1, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house. For he, Jesus, has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, but just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. And these are simple things, but it was just a reminder to me again. And like this verse has never sort of spoken to my heart before, but when reading it in this context, it was encouraging to be reminded that anything that gets built, there is no credit for man. And there's no, in ourselves, as we look to our homes, as we look to this body, if we want something to get built, then we need to have our eyes on God. Like we need, it's our Heavenly Father that through Jesus Christ, that is where something is going to get built. Anything of value we want, anything of spiritual value is going to get built by God. And the funny thing is, when you think of it that way, I may go back to it, I may not, but if you think of it that way, it gives a little context for the foolishness of the Corinthians. And I say that because when you think about it, like, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, like, they were carnal and that they were arguing, but forget about the fact that they were arguing. Forget, like, look at where their focus was. Their focus was on somehow it was this man. Like, that was the important thing, that this man was the source of what was happening in the church and in their lives. And it's just, when you think about these things, it's just so flawed. Like, you're like a mile off. You're more than a mile off. Like, it's God who's doing the building. What's happening here that is good is God. And you're looking to man and you're esteeming man in it. Like, it's just, it's so far off when you think about the fact that anything built, the house is built by God, whether that be our own home, whether it's the body, it's built by God. And for my own heart, it was just like, what it was just, again, it was just a reminder of the simple truth that, like, that needs to be my heart cry. Like, God, build something in me, build something in my home, build something in this body. Like, you do it, Lord. And I don't mean to take away from the fact, because Paul says it elsewhere in that passage. I skipped over the verse. He says, we're God's servants and we're going to receive a reward. So I don't want to diminish the role that each of us can play in being a servant in this building. But that needs to be secondary to knowing who is the builder. If you can be a servant, and I do want to be a servant in assisting with the building and assisting with tilling the field, but that you need to have the right perspective that it is God who's going to do the building, and we need to be crying out to him. Because I think as I ponder on these things, it helps just remind, like, some of these things Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself, right? And that's the heart that I think you can have when you read and understand these passages, that the builder is God. Then you start to realize, I need God to do the building. I want to be a servant. I want to be useful in my own home. I want to be a blessing to you guys. But ultimately, it's because I know that God is doing the building and he can put me into service and make me useful in the ways that he sees fit. But we need him to do the building. So maybe let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7. So it's a familiar passage in 2 Samuel chapter 7 where David comes into his mind to build a temple for God, and then God speaks to him about how he sees it. And it's a long passage, so I'm just going to focus on a few verses that kind of stood out to me on this topic. But for me, it was very applicable to what I was thinking of, because it starts with the wrong mindset. Like, I want to do something for God, and many of us have heard this passage shared on a number of times, but it still can be fresh in that it's like, I want to do something for God. I've got an idea, or I want to be useful, or I want to raise, apply it to the current circumstances. I want to raise a family that is wholehearted for the Lord, or we want to have a body here that is a testimony, a vital and living testimony of Jesus Christ in this community. That's all great. The flaw is that the concept of where the origin of all of those things is it in us? Is it something we're going to do? Is it something through our own striving and our own efforts we're going to do? And the answer is obvious. It can be no. But I'll ask you, here's a test, because I listened to a message this week about New Covenant families. And here's a test to say, are you perhaps a little bit off? Do you perhaps see it a little bit as yourself? Because it was a talking about raising our children, and the comment was, like, why do we want our children to grow up to know the Lord and to have a good testimony? Is it because we want it for ourselves, or because we want it for the glory of God? And the test is it more troubling to you if your children are misbehaving in a public place or in private? And I'd be honest, it's harder for me. I don't want to over-spiritualize and say this doesn't matter to me, because it is hard when you're getting humbled in public by your children. But the ultimate reality is, if it's for the glory of God, he sees both. And so if we have bad attitudes in our children, if our children are reflecting character that we don't like, that we want to see changed, ultimately, if it's for the glory of God, it doesn't matter whether man sees it or what man's opinion is. It should be, man, like, my children, I feel like they're missing the mark. I feel like they're not on a path. Even as they get older, they're not on a path to know Jesus as their Savior. Like, they're on a bad path. And is that a reflection? Like, am I concerned about my own reflection? Like, am I concerned about what others are going to think about my parenting skills or the choices I made? Or am I concerned about the glory of God? And if we're concerned about the glory of God, to me, it reflects that we know and understand where the ultimate builder of the house is. And if that is our perspective, if our perspective is, God, I want it for your glory, I think it helps because it brings me back to where is it going to come from? And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, if I want God to build a house, if I want God to do a work on my children or work on our body, then it's not about my glory at the end of it all. Then it's truly, you can start to have a little more perspective. Like, I'm just a servant. I'm a servant here. I'm a servant in my home. But ultimately, God is the builder. And when we're encouraged and looking for God's glory in it, I think it just helps with the right perspective. It helps me pray in faith. It helps me have faith to say, God, do it for your glory. Do something, because even I can say it helped me as I pondered these passages. I'm like, Lord, do something for your glory in my home. Like, help me to raise my children well for your glory. Not for my own, Lord, but for your glory, right? Like, and it builds your faith. Like, when you pray that way, you can be like, yeah, like, this aligns with Scripture. This aligns with what God wants to do for his glory, to have families that glorify him, to have a church that glorifies him. And it's not because of the striving of man or so that you can put a brand on it, like Joel and Maddie know how to raise their kids, or Christ Our Life is a church that sticks true to the word, and wow, they're really, really zealous, or whatever thing you could take personal glory for, or whatever thing you might want to pat yourself on the back for. It's like, no, we call out to God and we sought his glory and we sought him first. And yes, he chose to do some good things, whether it be in your family. And we were even talking about this earlier with some of the brothers and sort of saying, like, and all of a sudden you start to get some reflection on God's perspective too, right? Because what does God care about? Does God care about numbers? Like, man's glory can be about numbers and quantity of people. God's glory is about quality. So if we have a small, if the Lord ordains it that it's a small body here, but brothers and sisters are growing into the image of Christ, are growing and maturing, and children are finding the Lord and growing and maturing in Christ, God is glorified in that. That is fruit. Numbers are not fruit. That is fruit. And I do hope the Lord can raise us up to be good workers, that he can entrust more riches to us in spiritual souls and whatnot. But ultimately, it's about what brings him glory, which is fruit, which is our lives that are yielded to him and have him first. And so that, to me, is, it's again, in just having this core foundation that God is the builder, that he is the source of growth, he is the source of what I want, then it helps me to have the perspective on having him get glorified, my role in it, and hopefully a humility that can come through it. So getting back to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 5, it says, this is Nathan now, because David's told Nathan, it's in my heart to build a house for God. And it's, some of this is just going to be very repetitive to what I've said, but it's good to see it in the Scripture, because the Lord tells Nathan to say, go and say to my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build a house, or to build me a house to dwell in? Like, it was good for you. It was just encouraging to get reminded of that. Like, God may have to ask us that same question sometimes. Like, are you, in your efforts, going to raise a family that is glorifying to me? Like, is it going to be you who does something for me? Like, are you doing something for me in trying to raise your children to serve the Lord? Like, is that what you're thinking here, Joel? That you're going to do something for me? Because I think you're a little off. Like, it's not a bad desire, but you're a little off. Like, I don't think God was saying what David had here was a bad desire, but he was off in his thinking. Like, who's the builder here? Like, you're going to build something for me? Like, Joel, like, you, I need to build something for you. Your efforts of trying to build something for me, like, they're going to fail. I need to build something for you. And now you've got the right perspective. And so I just was a reminder of that. And so I'm going to jump around here. Forgive me. You can read through the passage. But verse 8, it starts, I think, in light of this, God sort of challenging David and sort of saying, like, are you going to do something for me? He reminds David, like, now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be a ruler over my people, and have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make you a great name, like the names of the great men who are on the earth. And what I took from this passage was, like, even as the Lord does help us, even as there is good things happening, even as we can see the Lord working, then, even as David now is a king and his enemies are cut off, it's actually when he lost perspective. He started to think somehow that it was his doing, and it was him who could give something back to God in building this house. And what does God do? He reminds David. It's like, listen, David, what you already see, I know you're thinking, seeing, wanting to see something more, but even what you already see that is good, it's me that did it, David. It's God that did it. Even as we see anything good in our own lives, good in this body, good in our families, it's not an occasion to say, I now have the answer. I'm going to go and start building. Now, it can be a reflection of knowing the truth and sticking to the word, which is excellent. But it's wrong if we somehow say, like, okay, I've got it now figured out. I'm going to go start building and fixing others and fixing things, and because I've now got it sorted out and I know what I'm doing. Like, it's not bad because it's probably based on the truth of God's word, but it's still important to remember you are not going to do anything of value. You can call upon the name of the Lord and ask him to build in your life, to build in the lives of others, and let him use you and be a servant. But don't have the perspective that now I've got it figured out and I'm going to go do something, because you'll end up with hopefully just God having to give you a gentle reminder, look, I did it for you, or in a worse place where you start building with wood, hay, and stubble, because wood, hay, and stubble are not just wrong doctrines. They're wrong attitudes and wrong approaches that say, you know what, it's somehow man doing it. It's a striving of human effort and letting a little glory come to yourself. Those are bad materials too. Wrong doctrines are also bad materials, but it's about the attitude and the what's getting built in. If you're building in that, because even if you don't mean to, if you're building with your own efforts, if it's about what you know and what you can do, ultimately you're going to get esteemed, and it's going to draw that to yourself, and then you're building with bad materials, and you're going to have people looking to you just as they did in 1 Corinthians. Not saying that's what Paul and Apollos are doing, but that's the risk. So the next verse I wanted to read is in I'll skip over, like, in the next sort of 10 or so verses there, God basically says, like, David, you're going to live this life. I'm going to prosper you, and you're going to have rest from your enemies, but you're not going to build a house. Ultimately, your son is going to build a house, and naturally Solomon built it. But what it says in verse 13, it says about this son, that he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish his throne of his kingdom forever. So ultimately what he's talking about here, I believe, is he's talking about what Jesus Christ is going to do and bring in the new covenant and bring in a new and living way to get back to God the Father and to have that new covenant church, which is the house of God. And that's the house that God wants, is ultimately talking about getting built here. So he gives David a promise that he is going to build him, that through David's line, there's going to come a house, but it's going to be his son. And there's wonderful promises in here. And I think that for us, I think we can have that same hope that, like, if we call upon the Lord, if we have this perspective saying, God, you're the builder, like, please build something here, build something in our body, build something in my family. If we have that cry, I believe God can answer it and do it for his glory. But what was encouraging to me is in thinking of this is actually how David responded after all of this. And verse 18, it says, then David the king went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far? Like, the perspective between the start when David says, David was not saying, who am I? And what have I, like, what have I done to deserve all your goodness, God? He started by saying, I'm going to do something for God. Like, I'm going to build God a house. But now, after getting his perspective realigned, he comes to a much better place, and a place that I think is an excellent place to dwell, that says, you know what, God? Who am I? Like, what am I? Like, anything good has come from you. What am I going to do for you, God? Like, what I want comes from you. And so all of a sudden, his perspective has been totally realigned to say, okay, God, like, it's nothing about me. It's all about you. And anything good that's happened is about you. And anything good that's yet to happen is going to come from you. And then verse 8:20, again, I like it. It says, and again, what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Lord God. And I took that for me in my heart, was saying, like, if any of us can have that, like, is God, if we have a hope, if we have God, if we do see God building, if we have a promise that God's laid on our heart, it says, the answer is, like, Lord, who am I? Like, you know your servant. Like, I think what David's saying there is, like, he's coming to, I think he's being reminded of his own shortcomings and how he is just dust. Like, I am nothing, God. Like, you, God, know your servant perfectly. And who, like, what can I say? Like, these marvelous promises that you've given about building a house, what can your servant say to that? Because he's but dust. He's not, He is just a servant getting to participate and see what God is doing. But truly, he is nothing. It's again coming to a perspective where you have a right alignment to see our role, the little piece that we can play, versus all that God is doing, versus the entire building coming from God, and just the fact that we get to be a servant and participate. But it just, to me, it just reflects of a right alignment of our role versus God's role in these hopes that we have of God building a house. And it's a good place to be that you just say, Lord, you know, you got a right perspective. Like I can say, God, you know Joel, you know his shortcomings. I could start to list them off here, right? Like, in God, you know the ones I don't even see yet. And yet you've given these great and wonderful promises that you want to build, that you want to do something, and you want to work in my life. You want to change me and to conform me into the image of your son, Jesus Christ. And you want to help me raise my children in such a way that they, when they grow old, they will not depart from the truth of your word. And these promises you've given, like, who am I? And you know your servant. And I am acknowledging that the servant that I'm nothing. And anything good is going to come from you as God. And so that, to me, there was what I read in David's prayer was first a realignment or an acknowledgement now of a much better place to say, God, this is where God can use somebody. This is where God can say, okay, like, this is a man after my own heart. This is where God can work in our lives and do something when we start to have this proper perspective. And then the last couple of things I wanted to mention in this passage is just David then also goes and seems like it's, David, oftentimes, I think some of these things prophetically, he started to have the right perspective, right? Like, he knows now, you can start to see, A, he sees his own place, but then he also starts to see, like, it's actually about the glory of God is what the ultimate outcome of this is. God builds this house, it's for his glory. And you see in verse 21, it says, for the sake of your word and according to your heart, you've done all this greatness, and let me know what you're about to do, God. And then in verse 23, it says, and what one nation on the earth is like your people Israel, whom God went to redeem for himself as a people and to make a name for himself. And then in verse 26, well, I'll read verse 25, he says, now therefore, O Lord God, the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and his house, confirm it forever and do as you have spoken, because I like the thought of my son sitting on your throne, or because I want an easy life, I want my family to turn out really good so I can get glory, or I want a church here so that we can be proud of saying we're part of a certain body. No. It says that your name may be magnified forever, saying the Lord of hosts is God over Israel. And that's the answer there, right? Like, even our own families, like, even in this body, in our own families, as he gets glory, as by God's grace and mercy, we see good things happening. We see children coming to know the Lord. We see a body here where people are encouraged and growing and being conformed into the image of Christ. What do we want the answer to be? That they have it figured out? That you got to go meet so-and-so because they can tell you how to raise your family and they'll really set you straight? Like, no, that it's that family serves the Lord. That they have put Jesus Christ first in their home. That family is a family that is different. That they're different. That God is first. That this body here is one where Jesus Christ and where God are exalted, and I don't know how to clearly or even articulate what I'm saying, but the conclusion is not about the person, it's not about the body, it's about the fact that God is there. Like, this is a place where God is working. And I want to know more. I want to understand out more why this is happening. I see the fruit and I want to know more. People then could come and ask, what's the hope? Why, what is this hope that you have? Why, like, I see these things. What is, like, tell me more. And the answer can be, well, you know what? God's building something and it's not of me. It's not because of anything I've done, but it's because God is building something. But here's how he's teaching me. Here's how he's teaching me to be a servant alongside of him. Here's what he's teaching me about how to align my life to his word and how he's teaching me to walk in the calling that he's called me to. And here's the truths that God has shown me from his scripture that are helping me to build with good materials. God's doing it. I'm happy to tell you about it, but it's not me. It's God doing it. And praise God for that. And I just think that as we have that perspective, and for me, it just gives me hope. It just kind of refreshed me and encouraged me to say, you know what? This is what I want. This is the answer of the sort of where I started about saying, like, it's not important who waters. It's not important who plants. Not that those things don't, like, it's funny to say that because you can say, like, those things are important, and it is important that they happen. But ultimately, that's not the focus. The focus is that it's God who causes the growth. And if we come back to that root, that it's God causing the growth, and that's what we want ultimately, I think it just helps with a overall alignment and perspective of our role, of the roles of brothers and sisters, of roles of people we may hear good things from and be encouraged by. But ultimately, we want the focus to be on God and what he can do and what he's going to do for his glory if we sort of purpose ourselves to seek that, to seek the glory of God. And I think that in that, and that's a little bit even in the message I listened to this week, if we're seeking God's glory, then all of this stuff is secondary, but it all falls into place, right? Like the home, the body, our own lives, they fall into place in the correct order behind seeking the glory of God. And I can say that for me, I guess, even as I'm here, I'm realizing this is part of the revelation for me, right? Like seeking the glory of God is something that I can acknowledge with mental assent that yes, seeking God's glory is good. Like it, of course it's good. It's obvious it's good. But I can say as I was starting to ponder on some of these truths and get encouraged about the fact I want God to build, all of a sudden I was getting more excited, more encouraged to seek God's glory, because I see how in seeking God's glory and seeking to have him glorified, starting in my own life and my family and this body, as I seek that, as the order starts to fall into line behind that, you see the blessing that can come. You can see how God is so good, and that he, in seeking his glory, ultimately it's just it's a blessing on us. But you got to have the right perspective. You got to start with the primary, which is that God would be glorified in my life, in my family, in this body. So, anyways, I hope that hope I conveyed that a little bit, just because it was encouraging to me, and it's something I want to dive into deeper and understand more.